Thank you, Jesus. It's good for us to be here. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. You know, this will be my third hour in the first Sunday, my third hour in the first Sunday of the month of February. Come on, somebody give the Lord a big hand. Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And it's just so beautiful that it was just now. It was like just now we were having our 31st night service, and though people say that the January, somebody said January is just like 1 year. You know, it's so long. I don't know. It doesn't even feel long to me. Well, I've not even done anything. I just started doing some work. I mean, this is my first series. This is my first series. Just did some work. And we had our 31st night service. We had a breakfast service. And then I began to teach. And this will be my third hour. My third hour. How to maximize God's grace, the grace of God. How to maximize the grace of God. Amen? And how to use the grace that God has given to us. And this will be my third hour. And again, I want to especially welcome those who have joined us online. We love you. We're happy you're with us today. We love you. On YouTube and on Mixel, we know there are people who are there, and so we love you. We love you. It's beautiful to know that you're there and you join us in service. You know, the same grace and the same power, the same spirit here is with you where you are right now. Amen. To touch you, to heal your bodies, restore your soul, and give you strength for your life. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right, so can I begin to share today?
Yes, sir.
All right, this will be my final hour in this conversation, how to maximize the grace of God, how you actually can take the grace of God and maximize that grace. We know, and you know that God's grace has been poured out upon us, poured out for our 2026. That is the truth. There's so much that God has given to us and poured out into our lives. But you know, Bible says, can two walk together except they be in agreement? So we have to be in agreement with God. We have to be in cooperation with God to enter into those things. And that's why I began to teach this and began to show you the areas where you must adjust, cooperate with God to see His power in your life. Amen? It's not just going to happen. You have to cooperate with God. You have to walk with God. There are some things you have to learn and the things you have to let go. So we began to look at them 2 weeks ago. And the first thing we talked about was this desire, right? I told you, I said everything begins with desire. You have to really desire it. You know, once we get desire right, once you say, this is what I want, somehow, there's force, there's energy, there's life. It just comes. You are able to go on. You are able to... Those I don't know why this thing happens to me, they will no longer be there. Because you'll be walking towards your desires. Desire is the first thing. It is the foundation of this enjoying and maximizing the grace of God. You must want it. There are these things that God has done for us. There's abundance for us this year, but we must also desire the grace of God. We must desire the power of God to be at work in our lives. We must say, I want to use the grace of God in my life. I want to use it for this purpose. So this is the purpose. This is what I want. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Everything begins with desire. Everything begins with desire. I believe that once we get desire right, the rest of the teachings will be very easy. Because once you get desire right, then it will be easy for you to change. It will be easy for you to make adjustments. It will be easy for you to move. Yes, once you get desire right. There are these things, if you say, this is what I really want to achieve. This is what I want to see in my life. This is what I want to have by the end of it. The truth is, you know, in preparing this, I know many times you are wondering why I'm staying here and what I'm doing. But we're not just trying to pass time. I'm not trying to cover material and pass time and say, we must finish this thing in this period of time. I can even leave the other things and move forward. But by the Spirit, I sense that we need to understand desire. We need to really say, what do you want? What do you really want? What's your vision? We need to really settle that thing. What do you really want for this year? For your life? What do I really want? Many of times people have not stated that thing. And it's true. I know what I'm saying. Many people have not really stated what they really want out of life. What do I really want out of life? Where do I want to be? How do I want to, where do I want to be by 75? What do I want? What do I want from this 26? I know there was a time I told you, I said, when somebody says, may the year give you, the year won't give you anything. It's not your friend. You take something out of it. It doesn't give anything. You know. May this man respond to you. Why will he respond to you? Does he know you? It doesn't have to do that. It doesn't have to do anything for you. You take out of it. You take out of life what you want to take. So that's why it begins with, what do you want to take? Do you want to be small? Do you want to be mediocre? You know, you just talk to people about being large and being a blessing, and they get angry. And when somebody gets angry, actually, I don't see that as okay, fine. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I want to be great. I want to be a giver. I want to be a blessing. Somebody says, you don't understand. There's nothing to understand. There's nothing to understand. You have to say, this is what I want. When you say, this is what I want, then you will get there. You might not be there right now, but you have to say, this is what I want. I want to be great. I want to be a giver. I want to be a blessing. You can't sit in life and just be, you can't come to life and just be a receiver and just say that. If you say that's what you want, then truth, that's where you'll be. And then I don't understand. That's what you want, and then what are we doing in church? And when you say that, listen to me. When you say, I want to be a receiver, I just want to be there, there's nothing else we will do for you. We'll call for prayer meetings. Guess what? You won't have time to come. Because you won't care. The things you don't do, they are because you don't care about them. Because you don't aspire to come out of where you are. So if you come for prayer meeting, you won't come. We have a spend meeting on Thursday and Friday, you don't have time. We have to come, you won't. So at the end of the day, it's like you don't understand. There's nothing I don't understand. It's just you've not set your desires. If you set your desires, then you begin to do some kind of things. Change will become easy. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Really, you have to go back. We have to go back. I'm on purpose. I just in praying and in talking to God. Like I told you, everything begins with desire. Everything. I want to build a company. Do you want to build a company, a business, and do that, or do you want to work on it? Whatever you want to, whatever you desire. Whatsoever it is ye desire when you pray. Right? Mark 11:24. Whatsoever it is ye desire when you pray. We talked about that. But I'm trying to, I've talked about this desiring thing and all that. I've stayed there for some time. I know I did some good work there in the first hour. But it's important that you remember that. And it's there. It's that this is my desire. This is my desire. This is what I want. This is what I want. When you desire these things, when you desire something, when the opportunities come your way, when that thing comes your way, you will see it because it's your desire. That's the truth. That's why everything begins with desire. When you desire something, prayer will become a meaningful force in your life. You begin to pray actively. You begin to pray when you desire something. You could say to me, Pastor, yes, now I will not want them. I want those things, Pastor. I want this. I want that. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the desire in your heart, your desires, what you want for your life. Because I'm going to talk about other things, and even in preparation and discussing, looking at them, you will find that it still boils down. It still comes down to desire. That's the truth. Okay, if we leave desire alone, can we just read, I want to read something. I think I should just read it again. In Romans chapter 10, I want to do Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. I just want to do it. Not for the sake, I just want to touch that desire that I'm moving on. I want to move on. Because it seems that you guys are just looking at me and like, Pastor, you've talked about this thing now. And that's partly the problem. You know, that's partly the problem. Learning, what's that repetition, law of learning, blah, blah, blah. You need to sink in, Don't mind me. There's a way they say it. It's very powerful. Repetition is the law of learning. Are we learning the law? All right? That's how you say it. whatever. If you repeat it enough, you learn it, right? I want it to sink in, because that's the truth. If you find somebody at a certain point, it's because he wanted to be there. If somebody is at another certain point in his life, that's where he chose. He said, no, it's not me. That he chose it somehow. He chose it. He didn't care. Once you make, you know, that's the thing. We're talking about desire now. You're saying, no, I want to see. Once you make the desire, once you say, this is my desire, or you are just neutral and just being nice and just going about the day. Let me tell you something. If you are just neutral, let me say this to you. If you are just neutral and just being nice and just going about the day, that's why I'm teaching you these principles. I'm going to teach you six. I'll finish up today. If you don't have a desire burning within your heart and causing you to pray and causing you to run, right? Somebody else's desire will enter into your life and you'll be somehow used to view that person's desire. I know it's not my choice. Pastor, that's wrong. I know what I'm telling you. I'll show you. We'll look at this together. Okay, look at this. The Bible says, it's Apostle Paul now. He's saying, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, my heart's desire and prayer. So we talked about that. My interest is showing you that it is okay to have a heart desire. Heart desire. You know, when people even pray for you and say, may God grant you your heart desire. What is your heart desire? May God grant you your heart desire. What is your heart desire? And we said the proof of desire is pursuit. So we know it's not I desire. We will see it now. The next thing, you start doing something in that direction. I want to come out of 2026 bigger than I came in. That's how. That's my desire. I must come out bigger. And so start walking in that direction. Start doing things in that direction. It should be clear. It's not desire is not what I mean. If you see, like I said, even in the first hour, if you see a guy who desires a lady, you will know. Abi? You will not say, eh, are you sure? You will know, it will be clear. If you see a lady who desires a guy, you will still know. I was watching something. There's a lot of creators, content creators. I was watching something. And I think, I don't know where. But this guy, this lady, she came with a cooler. I think she brought food for this guy in church. Maybe a pastor, maybe something in church. And then she was like, where are we going to? What relationship going to? A relationship? You guys relationship. You brought cooler. So what I mean? She just bought out one cooler. Sister so and so brought this cooler. But I don't know that one. And they didn't kill me. They're not shouting in front of that one. They didn't ask me all these questions. I put out a big one, you know, three coolers. I'm like, even this, if I were going to choose by cooler, this one brought the bigger cooler. And I was laughing. That's funny. I mean, if a lady is interested, you will still know, right? She'll show their desire. But I mean, you will know now. I just use that to say that she'll do something. He will do something. But we say desire and then nothing. You just sit and say, I know this is what I want. No, no. You pursue that desire. But it has to be, it should be born in something you really want to achieve. So one of the things I did not mention, I think I did it last week. I said, take a pen and paper and write your desires out. Write it. This is what I want. Write it. This is what I want. This is my vision. I told you it's like vision. It's what I really want. Write it somewhere. Just take a pen and paper. And make it clear. Write it. Write the vision. Make it plain. So when somebody says, may God grant you your heart desires, you will know what you are talking. And many a times, I found out that you are praying for people, sometimes you are praying for people because you think that they want something, but they don't want it. I'm telling you. I mean, I'm praying for somebody to get a job, and first of all, the lady to say that she wants to take December, I think November, December has break, and then she'll start looking for a job by January. And she lost her job. Not a job in October or January. So I said, I was just that. Come. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I finished praying. I said, all right, so what plan? You got to get out and do something. And I said, no, Pastor, she's not going to get out. She just wants to rest. She'll start up by, start up by January. She'll travel, she'll rest. Me, I'm thinking your finance is gone. How would you manage? And then you are, so imagine I'm praying, what I'm thinking that's what you want, but doesn't want it. Right? When I pray for ladies, sometimes I go, I say, are you in a relationship or something? I say, maybe we're going to go to a campus, our campus chapter location. Well, our location is close to campus, rather. And then you get these ladies, they say, I don't rush to pray anymore. Because if you don't want to pray for somebody for a relationship, and then somebody will come, people will come your way. Say, no, I want to follow my career first. I build my career first. I want to do this first. I want to have money by myself first. So, I mean, you can't really push people with what they want. You can't really tell. You can see someone. You know the story. Come on. I'm not trying to banter. I'm telling you, I'm going to stay here until me, I'm released in the spirit. I've done my work. Because the Holy Spirit told me to stay here. Remember the blind man. This is blind Bartimaeus. That shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, what Jesus asked, what do you want? He's asking, what do you want? It's very important too. Because just like we know, he could come and say, I want a wife. Be it unto you according to your own faith. So that I may see. So really, what do you want? That's the question he will ask. That's the question he will ask you first. So when Paul says, my brethren, my heart's desire, this is Apostle Paul saying he has a heart desire. It is okay for us to have our desire. Don't you say God should just give you things. You desire it and you by his power you will get it. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to settle into this desire thing here. 2026, January has finished. This is 1st of February. Don't let, this thing is very funny. Let me tell you, it's very funny. This is the service. I said this is the service. I'll look for your trouble. You see, the thing is, it looks as if people are playing now, but after 2-3 years, it will show. So you have to make sure every year counts. And before we make every year count, every month has to count. Every month. So don't play. 1 month has finished. It's 11 more to go. I'm not trying to do that thing and you're very fear. But I'm trying to say, be conscious of this thing. No, it finished. You will never get it again. If you are playing, relaxing, trying to do one thing, you know, you are with people now, you are just, all of us are together. Under 5 years, we might not be together again. No? I'm not joking. It's real. That time, it's not look as though, hey, village people. Village people don't even know you exist. I'll just keep telling people, they don't even know you exist. They don't even remember you. How come it's only you that have village people? You don't see the problem now. The other guy, he does not have village people. That guy that just moved forward, he didn't have village. The other guy, after 3 years, they don't have village people. Come on. Me, Unko, where are my village people? Should I start calling people's names? You find out that there are people that are excelling. If they could cross village people, you too can cross village people.
Yes, sir.
If they could, if they are real, if village people are real, people still pass them, Abi?
Yes, sir.
You pass them too. If we play now, I mean, time just keeps going. Time just keeps passing, small by small. If that's how it will pass, second by second, minute by minute. You don't just appear this to that. No, it will just pass like that, small by small. Small by small. Someone is doing something different. Someone is doing something different and just going. Nobody will notice anything. But after 2 years, after 5 months, after 11 months, by December, it will be obvious what we've done with our year. You can decide to go to class or decide to stay in your hostel, eat and sleep. At the end of the year, at the end of the session, you write exam. We will know if you have been reading or not. At the end of 4 years, they'll give you certificates. We will know. That's how it is. Time is going. So if you sit down and just bond, waste time and say nothing's happening. 1 hour, nothing's happening. 2 hours, nothing's happening. January, nothing's happening. February, nothing's happening. March, by December, I don't want to regret. I don't want to have regrets. I would have done this. Again, you would have done this, but alas, you can't get it back. You can't get time back. Amen?
Amen.
So you got to wake up. Wake up. And let's start doing something in the direction of our desires. You know, that's why we come to preach you. It's not just Greek and Hebrew. So stir your heart up for greatness. I and they that God has given me, we are for signs and wonders. Enough of all this stuff. Great people are sitting in front of me. They are sitting before me right now. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Number one. So we talked about desires. I'm good. I've done some work there. Number one. I'm good there. Desires, right? Number two, we said change. Change. We said change. You need to adjust. You need to be a different person to get a different result. You cannot continue the same way and get a different result. You need to change. And we used Abraham as a classical example. And I said, see, could God not have blessed Abraham where he was? He could. You could bless him where he was. But he says, all right, pack your things, move, and move from here. Just like that. Just move. I want you to move. I want you to change. You know, you change, you move, you get into what God wants you to get into. And when we refuse to change, We give all manner of excuses. I cannot do this. I cannot be this. I mean, I told you, I said, Noah was not a carpenter. All right? But God gave him grace. Grace to build an ark. You know, when you say you are small, I am small, we are the poor people. We are nothing. You have grace to be everything. You have grace to be great. You have grace to be great. But if you say you are small and you will not change and begin to walk like a great person, you will never see that greatness. There's grace available for you. And you need to maximize the grace. You need to take the grace and use it actually for your life. That's the way you actually enjoy God's grace. You enjoy it. When you can take it and use it. If you don't take it and you don't use it, you never really enjoy it. It will be there in front of you. And some other fellows will take it and use it for their lives. That's the truth. I want to maximize God's grace for 2026. There's so much that God has given to us. There's so much grace available for you and me. There's enough grace. It's not as if some people have and some people don't have. All of us have the grace of God available for our lives. We have the grace available to do what God wants us to do so that we can get what God wants us to get. And one of those things we need to adjust and move into is change. I can do it. Come on, say, I can do what God wants me to do. The devil says, you can't do it. You are not this. You are not that. Abraham said, I don't like moving. Come on. You'll never get there. You need to change. You need to change. You need to change. I wrote something that I think I didn't give to you last week. Seeing that God has graced you to build an ark, it is actually easier, right, for you to build an ark than to be an engineer. Anything that God has graced you to do, it's actually easier for you to do it than even the normal thing you are doing before. If God calls a medical doctor to build an ark, he says he's a trained medical doctor. Are you still in church today?
Yes,
he's a trained medical doctor. God calls him and says, I want you to build an ark. It will be easier by far to actually build an ark than to practice medicine. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Grace. So I'm saying that to you so that you can change. Change. It's easier for you to actually be who God wants you to be than to be who you have always been. Because there is grace. It will be so easy for you to be great than to be poor. Easier for you to be great than to be poor. God wants you to be great. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
There's grace. So just change. Anything that God wants you to do, anything that he gives you grace for, right? It becomes easy for you to be that thing. It becomes easy for you to journey and to travel like Abraham. Even though you are not a traveling type, you are not the traveling type. If God says move, immediately he says move, the grace to move has come upon you. It will become easier for you to move than to stay in one place. That's not the truth. When you understand grace like that, you'll be able to use it. If God tells you to do something, it is immediately there's power in that direction to do that thing. It becomes available. Abraham, just imagine Noah. I just take Noah. I take classical cases. Take Noah. Noah had to build an ark and had to tend to animals. I mean, you have to build the ark first of all. You have to do engineering work, do carpentry work, do other kind of stuff, see the stuff. And then the animals will not be with him for 40 days and all that stuff. And he did it. How did he do it? Animal husbandry. I cannot be this. I cannot do this. I cannot. No, there's grace to do it. And it'll be easy. Every time, anytime you see people, you know, most of the time we see people in, like when we read the Bible or even around us, see people who are effortlessly living out and maximizing their lives and fulfilling destiny. We actually think it's that kind of thing is impossible. It's not impossible. It is grace. It is grace. It is grace. And it becomes easy. So when God tells us to do something, when he says for you to do something or you can do something, the truth is that you can do it.
Yes,
sir. He says you can do it. Business will thrive. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to that. That is you. And that is fear. And that is the devil. Why do you fear the devil? When you step out, you find that you have the grace to do it.
Yes,
you step out. So we have to change. You have to change. Leave your comfort zone. Move out. And then you get into stuff. Again, last week I did some work on. I said, speak grace to yourself. Speak grace to yourself. Let me give you two scriptures I didn't give you last week. Give you two scriptures. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 29. So you take note of this. Ephesians 4:29. The Bible says, Can you all read for me? One, two, go. You see that now? So it says, you are speaking, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, right? But that which is good to the use of edifying. That it may do what? Minister grace to the hearer, Abby.
Yes,
from where? Where does grace come out from? Come on now. Where does grace come out from? From your mouth, right? It says for you to minister grace to the hearer. Okay, minister grace to yourself. Administer grace to yourself. I remember I told you that last week. So I say, I want to give you some scriptures to help you. Administer grace to yourself. That's why later on in chapter 5 and verse 19, it says speaking to yourselves. You speak to yourself. And so it says for us here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. So the grace of God needs to be ministered. It now says it will minister grace unto the hearer. Now, when you now take that and you now speak this grace upon yourself, that empowers you to go forward. So you should learn to minister grace to yourself. I told you, it might look strange, but hear the word of the Lord. Call your name, your own name, and speak to yourself. You hear what I said? That's how you maximize God's grace. God's grace is available. It's everywhere. But administer it to yourself. It's as if you are taking medication. He said that you may minister grace. Administer. So when you say administer the drug, administer this, right? You administer grace. You can administer grace to yourself. That you may minister grace unto the hearers. But now this, you are the one. So minister grace to yourself. How many of you have started talking? Wake up in the morning, call your own name and speak to yourself. Speak to your day, speak to yourself. I have a great and blessed day. The anointing of God is upon my head. By my God, I leap over the wall. You see now. You are speaking to yourself. It will be beautiful. I know why I'm saying this. When it speaks to me, I speak to you. Call your name. Don't just say I. Right?
Yes,
call your name, your own name. We don't need to go negative to say that. But to say this, but some of you, I don't know, sometimes when you want to teach something, I'm trying to do my best. You know, when God calls you, gives you a walk, and you're doing your work, I just try my best for you. I love you guys so much. I do everything possible to communicate the truth to you. And I hope you're getting these things and you're using them. But when you look at negative stuff, what those movies we used to watch, those days, I think Montana used to do those things then. You see this, you call the name, you go to a shrine, you call the name, you say, Adekunle, Adekunle, you call the person's name. You will not say, I want him. No, you call the person's name. It's your name, it's your identity. Speak to yourself. I mean, has somebody sent you love you before? Church has gone quiet. Love you. You can love you to everybody. You can send love you to everybody. So don't get psyched that he said love you. Because if you say love, you can maybe say I said he just says love you to everybody. He said love you. He said I saw you. He says love you to everybody. When is your name? Is the pastor is addressed to you? So hear very well. I'm leaving here. I'm done with this. The next things I want to teach are simple. Speak, call your name. Speak grace to yourself. Administer grace to yourself. The grace of God will be spoken over you. When I speak grace every Sunday, I've not stood on this altar and walked away without speaking grace to you. But you call your own name and speak the grace to yourself. Speak the grace of 2026 upon your own self. Say a good glad tidings of good things. You see now. But but say it concerning yourself. That's the grace of 2026. So. Glad tidings of good things. So you take that word and speak it to yourself. I receive glad tidings of good things. I enjoy the good things. Then you call your name. Call your name inside. I enjoy the good things of the Lord this year 2026. Very important. Learn to speak grace to yourself. This is something you have to do. This goes beyond the teaching and power and blessing and anointing. You know? Remember again, I told you when you come to church, I teach, so you get this stuff and you have to go and apply them. If you don't apply them, nothing will change the box. This is something you have to apply, right? David was not thinking. When the Bible says, we all know the scripture, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I think what people think is that David sat down and was not thinking. No. He was not thinking. He was speaking to himself. Speaking, very powerful too. One of the greatest ways to minister grace to yourself.
Yes, sir.
I'm ministering grace to you now, speaking the word of God to you. But it is important that you learn to minister grace to yourself. It says, when you are speaking, it says, let your word be seasoned with salt, grace, right? And so you can minister grace to other people. So we now get from here the principle of administering grace to ourselves. So don't think about it. When I'm laboring a point, I'm finished though. This hour finished. I've left the message. Maybe I'll share something like this years from now. Speak to yourself. Finish. All right, point number four. I can't stay there any longer. Understand the working of grace. I think we were rounding up on this matter last week. I think we're running here. Understand the working of grace. I'm not even going to stay long. There's nothing to do here. I think I did most of the work here. We always miss the point where the Bible says, and Jabez cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry, and we miss them. We say he was more honorable than his brethren. In meaning that when he prayed and God gave him grace, this thing I'm teaching now is one of the most misconstrued teaching in the body of Christ. It's just bad. Christians don't understand grace and the working of grace at all. It's very bad. I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this job for long. And people just think now that when you say the man is graced, it means that nothing will happen. It means that when you read the scripture, like I said, down under my head with oil, my cup runneth over, then it's like that's how it works. It just goes. And so many times, Pastor Faye taught this thing last year, if you remember. Many times, once things go south and things get wrong, you doubt grace. You say, it's not possible. If I was anointed, if the Lord has graced me, you throw grace through the window. You must understand that, I am so great. In the midst of that upside down, you will say, I'm anointed and I'm graced and I'm blessed. In fact, that is the time where you need to even say it the more. I'm telling you. Because people don't understand this thing, grace. Why? I can't do all that reason. I've already done that work, so you get the message. We just read Ziklag, David and his David, though, this anointed David. He was already anointed with oil since years before that time. And they came and took his wife and children. Say nothing happened to David. So immediately they anointed him. David just began to walk like this. Immediately anointed him, Saul began to pursue him. If you were standing there, I want to breeze through this, I don't have time. If you were standing there, when they were nailing Jesus to the cross, you would say, there's no way. You see the thing now. There's no way. That's the problem. A lot of people don't understand the power of God. And that grace does not mean nothing wrong will happen. In fact, it means the only thing it guarantees you is that you have victory at the end. That's the meaning. That's the only thing about grace. So if you have grace, you receive grace for 2026. I'm telling you, guaranteed we win at the end. That one is clear. But between January and December, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. It doesn't say I will not know shadow of valley of death again. That's the issue. We miss it there. The people that stood there with Jesus on the cross, when it was like, I want to go to school, I want to move forward, I don't have time, I have to do this thing and get out. The people that stood there, they say, if you are the Son of God, you know what they were, that's what they were saying there. That's what they were saying. If you are the Son of God, you must not get there in your own life. You must understand the working of grace. Because they said, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Because there's no way somebody that is the Son of God cannot die on the cross. Somebody that is the Son of God cannot go through this thing you are going through. Somebody that is the Son of God cannot lose money. Somebody that is, do you understand myself? Somebody that is the Son of God, they cannot break your heart. That is, they will break your heart and tear it into pieces. Grace only means that you will marry well and have a good family. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's what it means. Yes, that's the meaning of grace. That's the meaning of grace. Grace don't mean you won't walk. Grace don't mean you sit down in your house and you are watching a movie. That's not grace. A lot of people miss this thing about grace. And it's a little bit something I'm passionate about it. Because I want to communicate to Christians. They begin to doubt anointing. People were standing there and Jesus Christ was dying for them and they were doubting him. They were asking him if you were the Son of God. It was funny. I'm like, you don't have eyes. You don't know what you, when you read the Bible, what do you think about those guys? Those guys are dumb. You see, you have the full picture. And that's the truth. An anointed man, a graced man, a called man, don't mean he will not go through stuff. So most of the times, once you begin to go through a thing or two, what happens? Throw the baby out with the bathwater. Throw everything out. Throw the anointing out. Once there's no food, you sell the birthright. Don't sell it out. There's nothing. What is this thing to me? I don't have anything. You see, once you say I don't have anything, the devil has stolen it. Simple. That's how he steals from Christians. If you must maximize the grace of God, you must understand the grace. That in going through the year, you will go through things. But grace guarantees that you will go through those things and you will come out on the other side without harm. That's what grace means. That's what it means. That's what it actually means. A lot of things. You sit and you get to pastor's meetings and where I mean they'll tell you, man, pastor say, man, things are happening. Things happen to everyone. When you come to praise the Lord, I mean the Lord, you're just moving forward. Things are happening inside. 4th of January, you just get a call from nowhere. 4th of January, you already no suspicion. This I'm not doing this. How are we going to manage this whole location? What is going to happen? That location now that somebody walked away from, I mean, on the 4th of January, is one of the strongest locations in this church, in our ministry. Grace don't mean they will not check. I mean, what I've seen in ministry in life, I mean, but I thought you were, that's the problem. When people don't understand grace, when things happen, they begin to point finger. And you who have the grace must know. If you don't know, then nothing will work. David was anointed, a man after God's own heart, right? I told you that. And they captured his family. They captured his family. So where was God? That's powerful. It takes some time. It takes some time. It's me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Look at what it says. But by the grace of God, I want to touch this part also. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me. Amen. An anointed man can go through some time downtime. It's there. People that don't understand grace, once you are just here and there, they'll just say, it means that. Oh no, that's bad. That's bad. But by the grace of God, and so you must understand, I'm not even speaking for other people, point finger or not the point finger, I'm speaking for yourself. So when something happens, somebody say, you know what the Bible says in Isaiah, I think 53, no, not 53, cannot be 53. 44, 49. He says, when you go through the fire. He didn't say if, when. From January through to December, brothers and sisters, something will happen. See, I want to go. I don't like what this pastor is saying. No problem. Something will still happen. The thing. I don't care. I don't think somebody say. I know what I say. I don't believe. Even you that will say you don't believe, between February, no, we're in February now, and December, something will happen. Something that is funny will happen. The thing that you need to understand is that you will go through that thing with the grace and power of God and come out on the other side. That is the thing you need to understand. So, you can say, no, it's a lie. Nobody can tell me it's a lie between January and December. Can I say something? Sometimes when I'm preaching, I love you. I will tell you like that. The very fact that there is grace upon your head, the very fact that God releases grace upon your life, is the very fact that attracts the enemy against you. It's a giving. It means that, let me tell you this, it means that when you have a word that says, I mean as plain as possible, when you have a word that says that you are going to be here, immediately the word comes, let's say you are here, and the word of God comes and says you are going to be here, you now receive grace and power, right? Immediately, the thing that will happen next week, next month, 2 months, maybe 3 days, maybe before the rest that evening, you will first go down. You know why he spoke that grace to you? So that you'll be able to fight that thing that's about to come. That's why I spoke grace to you, actually. Actually. If you were not anointed, that thing something happens, you say, I don't die. But because of that anointing, you will administer grace to yourself. That's the thing I have. That's the thing I get. I don't preach. When I preach, it's as if I'm speaking Greek. If God says this is the direction you are going to, the thing that will happen in your life by necessity that you'll be in the opposite direction. it is time to now use that grace to go to that place. That's what I'm teaching. You know, there will be no question, I'm saying. You now have to say no. The grace paints a picture of who you are, where you are. It gives you the desire. So things will go wrong. There is nobody that says anything. They're just talking nonsense. Anybody that says anything. You know, when you are certain of these things, you don't have to bother about it. Hey, somebody will throw me. Is there anything you want to say anyway? It is best that wants to send the message and say, it's a lie. You don't. Let him sit down and tell me his life. Let's start his life. You will see. You see how terrible things were. But you come out on the other side because of grace. And now, once you have come out, you must be able to administer grace even to other people. Right? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But what did he do? I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but what? The grace of God, which was with me. So when you are going to work and you are coming back, you go to work and you are coming back, you are getting tired and you are working. And somebody begins to say, if God was with you, he's just talking lies. Right? God is with you. That is why you are able to go and come back. That is why you will go and you will not be weary. That is why you will go and come back and you will not burn out. Grace. He says, I always say, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God. It means that the grace of God was laboring. Grace of God labor, but you don't want to labor. There's a grace for the race, so there will be no lace in the race. I don't know what those things you are saying about. What does that mean? You are trying to do rhyme and people are jumping and shouting. Hey, what's that? There's grace for the race, does not mean there will be no race. You will still have to run. You still have to fight. Now I say I will not fight. The grace, the reason why you won't receive the grace at all is that you will fight. Yeah, you can fight. What I say? People get disillusioned when they say nothing happens. Right? They get disillusioned. And so you say, it's the church. Move. You can move from today to all everywhere. Your life will be frost with challenges. The thing you need to get conscious of is that you have grace. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm teaching you. Something will come up. I don't know what it is, but something will come up. It will challenge the grace of God upon your life. You will say, no, I cannot be. You will use grace. You will use the grace of God to come out on the other side. Name one person in your Bible that didn't go through anything. One. Nothing. Great, was just going like that. You see, the problem with today's church is the way they teach this thing is that it's as if nothing will happen. It's not as if nothing will happen, it's that you will win. That's the teaching, and that's correct. At the end of December, by the end, you will win. Apply the principles and go. I refuse to abandon grace. Most people just abandon the thing there. You are going through stuff and you're just like, If God really loved me, am I really called? Then you now get 2-3 members. You now sit down and say, did God really call you? I mean, somebody left our church. We are looking for a hall. Real life, I've told you before several times. We're looking for a hall. We didn't get a hall. I mean, over 6 months, we're looking for a place. Because where we were, they bought the place. So we had to move to another place. We had to move. And we don't get a place. We don't go by home. And this is somebody that comes to church. I mean, he comes to church with his wife. And then one time he walks up and says to me that you have to get your leaders and pray. You will have to gather together and pray because we have been looking for a hall. It has been too long and we have not found a hall. I don't understand. You should get your leader. Anyway, when the boat is on fire, you will know because the rats will run out first. Once you see rats running out of your room, you don't know there's fire somewhere. Because they are the one that will smell the smoke first. You should get your leaders. And you have been in this church all this while. It has been like this. I can't even go through anything. I'm not even expected to look for all because I'm honest. I can't even look for space, so I don't feel anything. We were still looking for hall, that time. We bought the land and built a church. Looking for. There's nothing we can rent any year. Yeah. Grace doesn't finish you. It's not people that don't understand the grace. You go through stuff. Left with his wife. Left with his wife. I don't know. We are here. We are still here. We bought the land and built church since. Spent money that would get any hall inside Benin. In fact, we attempted to start building another one. I'm not joking. I'm telling you, start building another one. Looking for. Don't understand. You go through stuff. Before you start going through stuff, you go through stuff. People just around you just begin to look at you and say, then you must not catch that thing. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Understand the workings of what?
Grace.
It might take some time. Things will go off. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Eh? He went through pain. Went through pain. Grace means that you win at the end. Number 5. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. I'm going to move faster. I have 2 things to cover and I'll be done. Galatians 1:10. These ones are easy. Easy, I think so. I have 2 things. No, I'll just do one. We'll stop at number 5. We'll teach the other one later. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
It's not how far we cover. It's how well you get this message. You get the message now. Well, it's a perfect message for a new year. Maximize the grace of God. Those are things you need to know. There's grace of God available. Things come up, you say, nothing happened. There's oil on my head. You keep fighting. You fight. That's why it comes. Then you learn also to speak the grace. Come on. Administer grace to yourself. Morning dose, afternoon dose, evening dose. Right? Administer grace to yourself. Right. Galatians, I said Galatians chapter number 1. I didn't say Ephesians, I said Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. For do I now persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. There's no way you can use the grace of God, maximize it, if you are pleasing men. That's the problem. Right? Noah built an ark. What do you think people said? You know, there was grace to build ark. But if he listened to what people said, right? If he listened to what people were saying, he would have left off building the ark and died with everybody. There was ark building grace. What do you think people said? What are you doing? What are you building? Nobody has built that thing before. But God gave him grace to build ark. What are you doing? It's not too big. Where is the water? Where is the water? You know, all manner of things. People say all manner of things. But grace has been released. You walk according to grace. The only thing that you pattern your life now according to the grace that has been given to you. Glad tidings of good things. Desires of God that is burning within your heart. You pattern your grace according to the desires. You pattern your life according to the desires of God in your heart. According to what He has graced for you to do. Not even your family. David came, he saw Goliath, and family started attacking him. Why are you here? You want to hear this? You want to do this? You see what I'm saying now? Not even them, because God has graced you to do something. People, if they don't see it, they will attack it. If they not start attacking it, you now say, because they are attacking it, let me abandon it. You frustrate the grace of God upon your life. Are you here? I'm still teaching you. I'm still teaching. I'll soon be done. This conflict, it will be there in your life. It will be there when grace comes. When grace comes upon your life, there will be this thing to do. It could be your place of work. Around you, and there's grace for you to do something. But once you get into that place, people around you who don't see the grace, they begin to say a thing or two. And yes, there's grace to be something. There's grace to do something. If you allow them to talk you out of it, you can walk out of the grace of God and begin to live like ordinary people. Begin to live like all of them. Because people always want you to live like them. And then you reduce yourself and frustrate the grace of God upon your life. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And that's what we're talking about. So there could be so much for you this year, but in terms to please your your neighbors and your friends. So all of us can be together. You know, one thing is that, let me do this. I know this, it looks like a financial something, but once you begin to prosper and begin to go up, friends that you have been with and all that, playing, doing, they just begin to do summer. You're wondering, how far? Fine. What happened? No, nothing. They'll now probably do something and invite 2-3 people and leave you out of it. Then you now say, no be so. Just to blend in, you will take the grace of God there, abandon it and start blending so you can. They don't want anybody to go ahead. But when there's grace for you to go ahead, you must understand that thing and start to go forward. Yes, pleasing men. Sometimes, let me tell you this thing. Listen, I'm preaching. I know I'm preaching because I want you to pay attention. I'm doing my best work. Now, sometimes they have not even said anything. One of the things that reduce people, frustrate the grace of God. God gives you grace, eh? But you are thinking about what they will say. If I do this, what will they say? Hey. If I start building the ark, now they will not say, am I the only one that hear from God? Am I the only one? So let me not build the ark. You frustrate God's grace for your life. Take this step and start doing this. I want to rent an apartment. I'll put this thing there. I want to do it. I want to start a business. All of us, have we not tried to start business before? Business, I feel. Let me tell you, just get a job. If God says, this is what I want you to do, there's grace for you. Then sometimes, it's not what they have said. I'm sorry, I'm going back. It's not what they have even said, though. It's what you think that they will say. So because of that, if I start doing this thing now, Ineka will not now be, she will be someone. You know, we already said that nobody should do, nobody, you know, those that friendship things you do. None of us say, let me use marriage. Maybe it will click. Maybe you start paying attention. We'll not just marry anybody that doesn't have 10 million in his account. We will not just say, Then finally you now meet a guy. He now likes you. You not even like the guy. Hey, if I now start dating this boy now and tell Neka and give me a name please, Shola, Rosie, that it is this James I'm dating, they will now say that he's too small for me. Then, I'll be here praying for husband. I'll be here praying for husband. You are calculating what everybody will say. And you are in church lifting your hands and saying, amen, amen. But end up saying amen, you go and calculate what men will say. Grace will come, you will frustrate it. Then you will not say it's pastoral. It's not pastoral, no. It's you frustrating the grace of God. That one didn't fly. Okay, let me use money. Money will fly. Fly, Abby. They just absorbed it and kept quiet. So this guy is in front of you. James is a nice guy, he loves you, everything, but because of what they will say, you frustrate the grace of God. And you are telling me that we need to go for a deeper anointing and deeper. You don't need deeper anointing. You are just frustrating God's grace. Just frustrating God's grace. Because of what people will say. Because of what they have said or what you think they will say. I want you to quickly just look at these two scriptures. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. It says, if I yet please men, I will not be a servant of God. Right? Alright. Look at what Peter said. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. It is key for us to obey God rather than obey men. It is key for us to follow the grace of God rather than follow what men will say. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Peter said this now. Go to Acts 4:19. Two scriptures. Three scriptures, actually. If I yet please men, I should not be a servant of God. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God, to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You judge it. People will always tell you to give up hope. Tell you to cast off the grace that God has given to you. You know, if you notice, I've always been talking about frustrating the grace or casting it off. Nothing can really happen to you, a child of God, that will kill you. The only way it happens, catches you, is for you to cast off the grace of God upon your life. That is the truth. people will start talking down to you. Let me tell you, this is like where I live. You are getting this thing. Now let me tell you, I was before a man of God. Man of God. He said God did not call you. By the time he said God did not call you, you are not this small. We are not up to 7.5. So now, after some years, we still met. We met, we interacted, everything, prayed for me several times, prayed for my church, saw vision for my church several times. But God did not call me that time. If you let anybody frustrate the grace of God upon your life, you'll be on your own. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Several times, saw vision for yourself. So, it's not, you're not living what people will say. You have to use the grace of God and get into what God wants you to get into. People will tell you to give up. Job's wife. Are you in church?
Yes,
sir. No, be she the sicko. In no concern. You know where I'm going to? She comes to Job and says, curse God and die. How does he affect you? I don't know. Sometimes I don't. Do you hear what I just said? He's telling Job she's not sick, no boil on her body. She can manage. She has father and mother. She can go to her father and mother's house. She's not sick. She can still eat. The person that is actually suffering, that took the heat of the whole matter, is Job. Okay. Let's say it was the two of them. I don't even care. Let's say it was God. So somebody wants to do this logical thing with me. Let's go there. Let her open her mouth, curse God, and die by herself. Why would she tell Job? You don't understand the power of what I just said. You're not getting what I'm saying. If you let people influence you, he said, how can somebody come to somebody else and say, look at your life, look at you are going to just curse God and die? Madam, does it concern you? But it's in my life. Is that people will always pressure you to frustrate the grace of God upon your life. And if you follow people, if you are still that people-pleasing person here, 2026 will pass you. One of the things I will never do, one of the things you should not do, is see, people are out of the matter. Pleasing people are doing my friends, me and my clique. I purposely said when I gave one of my examples earlier, even family. Because sometimes in a bit to please family, you take the grace of God upon your life and throw it away. This family, all of us need to be here. All of us don't need to be here. All of us cannot even be here. I need to travel. Then sometimes you might need to get out. Because the family does put them. Take Joseph. You know that you would miss that his father. You miss the father. His father even said, will I bow before you? You say, daddy now said, oh, daddy. It didn't even work for daddy. I know for some people it's extreme. In family, they don't touch it. That is why their lives never go anywhere. I'm just saying, you can preach everything. People will do that to you. Once you just see family, they say, my family is my blood. My blood is. People even say their blood, their family is sicker than their, closer to them than their spouse. I've never noticed. There are many dumb things. That is the dumbest one. You married a wife and you say your brother is. You don't know that everything has changed. Family, one of the things that drag people down, especially in Africa, this man of God, he always say this is Africa witchcraft, is family. Because you want to blend with them. So if everybody in your family is this way, if you attempt to bust out and prosper, you are the bad member of the family. You just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Shabaka, rigelepe. Family just get angry. We don't used to pray like that. We pray in the Holy Ghost, though. Before you even got to that church you were going to, I've already started going to church. I've been preaching in tongues since. Why don't you preach in tongues like that? Why are you speaking in tongues in the bedroom? You have to come, everything to square the thing there. Everything. People always get into your business. Curse God and die. That is, if you are suffering, I know her children, they were also her children. She was enjoying some level of stuff, Abby. And she lost everything. Let's say she lost, Job lost. Let's say she was even suffering the boils too. Let her say, I curse God, now God, and die. It's simple. Why would you tell somebody else to do it? So what's your life? How many people are telling you to do something that will kill you? How many people are telling you to frustrate the grace of God upon your life? They carried Peter and the apostles and beat them. The preaching is not doing you. It's me that is preaching. It's not your preaching. It's God that gave me grace to preach and say I should preach. And now you are, I must obey God rather than man. He said, judge it all. Whether it be right for the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, then judge for yourself. So no matter what, no matter who, hold on to the grace of God upon your life. Say, all of us, we are like this. Me, I am going forward in my life. Me, I have determined to be all that God wants me to be. Me, I have determined, you see, this thing has to be personal. This weird thing, my neighbor's thing, neighbor, they will naturally just begin to pull away from you. Somehow, they all be quiet. Why? Because you are advancing. We need to prosper. Just get a new contract first. You find out they won't tell you they're angry with you. They'll just not be talking to you again. Just get a new bill. Just start buy a new something. Just people don't get angry. Because once you start to prosper, they want, if you come down, they'll be happy. They'll even come and greet you. If something happens to you, they'll come and greet you. When you get promoted, they'll not come and greet you. They just want, hey, now we are comfortable. Now me and you together. Better. Hey, how you did? Yeah. Promote, go up, be promoted first. Don't, good morning. Then we, I heard you are promoted. Then you two will now be saying, let me hide the promotion. Let me hide you. For God's sake, people, don't try that nonsense. Live according to the grace of God upon your life. If everybody says they want to do that, want to do that, say God has come, say, let's just wait this. I am. We are suffering, so I will do this. Go, don't do people, don't do general something. There's a grace of God upon your head. Right? The Bible says Jabez was more honorable than he was. Than who? Are you in church here?
Yes,
Jabez was more honorable than who?
His brethren,
Abby?
Yes,
it doesn't work. Jesus, do you think he was accepted? I'm trying to get out of here. Do you think Jesus was playing with his brothers and sisters? Huh? They didn't like him. Jesus who? Jesus. This is our brother. Our elder brother. He said, our mother said, angel, fear to us. He's Jesus. You don't know how to come back with our father that time. He said, he's the Messiah. Our brother, eh? Nuts. I'm not joking. That's what they said. Say it's nuts. It's crazy. You know what the Messiah is? The Messiah is from above. They can't believe that God has graced you for great things. If you allow that thing, you will frustrate the grace of God. One of the things I don't do, I'm just here, these principles are powerful. They will help you maximize the grace. There's grace available for you. If you take them and apply them, you'll get somewhere in your life. Amen? 2026 is a great year. The Lord has graced us, empowered us, has poured abundance. There are good things in store for us this year. You can see them, you can go to them, take them, or because of people, you can leave them. You should first of all desire them. You should speak them. I gave you all these principles, right? You work them out and you get there. But this five keys, there are five now. I think I gave five. There are six one here, but I don't want to do that. I'm out of time. I'm not going for that. But we are still together now. Say it now so I will skip church next week. You don't know what I'm teaching next week. You don't know when I will teach it. Let the suspense be there. All right. We'll cover them. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be that. We'll continue teaching. But these five things, I believe, you know, by the Holy Spirit, I could do it, but I'm not doing it. Somehow I didn't do it. Somehow. Why? By the grace of God. All right. These five things, pay attention to them. Use them and you will maximize God's grace for 2026. You'll be able to come out of 2026 bigger than you came. You really, it will happen. It's not Greek, but you will come out. You will experience more. There's grace. It's not coming, no. There's grace already available. Before we came in, God has laid down, he has prepared for us a table. It is left for us to go in now and begin to possess our possession and take the things that God has given to us. We need to walk with God. In agreement with God, understanding the working of grace, understanding that we need to speak grace, understanding that our desires must be activated there, and say, this is what I want to achieve. Understanding that there will be pressures on every side, and people want to pressure us to abandon and frustrate the grace, and leave the grace of God so that we can blend with them. But we say no. We fight and hold on to the grace of God, and then we'll go forward. By December, you will see, you will maximize the grace and come out bigger. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that the grace of God will be evident upon your life, to be evident in your life. In the name of Jesus, I pray that your eyes will be open to see the things that God has given to you. Your eyes will be open to see the things. There will be a burning desire in your heart to enter into the things that God has designed for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you today that God will cause you by his grace and by his power to begin to speak and administer grace to yourself. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that he will give you the strength, the tenacity to hold on even when things go wrong, even when things go south, in the name of Jesus. That he will give you the strength to use grace in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you will stand firm in the grace of God and not yield to people pressure. Wherever the pressure comes from, whether it is from family or friends or neighbors or co-workers, in the name of Jesus, you will stand in grace. You will maximize grace. You will come out of 2026 bigger than you came in. In the name of Jesus, the grace of God in your life will speak loud. People will see it. In the name of Jesus, they will come from the north and the south. They will honor you because they will see the grace of God upon your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that grace will make you strong. That grace will make you strong. I pray that grace will make you strong. In the name of Jesus, that by the grace of God you will labor. You will say, yeah, not I, but the grace of God. People will see you and say, how are you like this? How were you able to do this thing? You will say, this is the grace of God. And you will labor by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I and they that God has given me, that for signs and wonders, things will have, amazing things, glorious things in your life, they will happen in your life in the name of Jesus. You will walk, you walk into your destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Every waking moment moving you forward, every day of this year you are moving forward in the name of Jesus. You are blessed. You are blessed. Everywhere you turn, all around as you turn, you are blessed. In the name of Jesus, anything you lay your hands to do, blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord caused these desires to burn within your heart and cause them to drive you to his presence. In the name of Jesus. When you have strong desires, you'll be driven to a strong God. When you have big desires, you'll be driven to a big God. The Lord will cause these desires to burn within your heart and they will cause you to run to him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I hear in my spirit, you begin to see results. You begin to see results. In the name of Jesus. From this month, you begin to see the grace results. Come on. You begin to see grace results in your life. Grace results. In the mighty name of Jesus. When men are cast down, you will say there's a lifting up. There's a lifting up. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I hear in my spirits, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. So I want you to declare, say, I'm willing, I am obedient, I eat the good of the land. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody give God praise in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord praise. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.